it please the Court, Siri Shetty on behalf of Appellant Juan Jose Vidal. Here the District Court erred in applying the 2L1.2 enhancement under the then-mandatory guidelines. The District Court also erred in applying the aggravated felony enhancement because the California conviction under Section 10851 is not categorically a theft offense. For the first error, remand is necessary because the District Court erred under Booker in applying the enhancement under the mandatory guidelines.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even waste your time arguing that.
Very well. With respect to the second error, the California conviction under 10851 is not categorically a theft offense. This Court, several weeks ago, recently established in Pennular that under 1101A43G that 10851 is not categorically a theft offense. And the reasoning behind that was that because California law has broad aiding and abetting liability, that takes the activity that's punished by 10851 outside the generic definition. And the element of the generic definition that the Court focused on was the taking or exercise of control over property. Now, given that aiding and abetting liability under California law takes that statute out of a categorical match to that element, and Section 2L1.2, the Application Note 3, specifically references 1101A3's definition, then it's categorically overbroad under the federal sentencing guidelines. The government has noted that Application Note 5 seems to permit for all B1 offenses aiding and abetting liability, but this is simply internally inconsistent with Application Note 3. It can't be that Application Note 3, which specifically references 1101, can be reconciled with that. And, of course, Application Note 3 is the more specific provision and should control in these circumstances. The second reason that 10851 is overbroad is that the statute permits deprivations based on de minimis deprivations of property. And Navarez-Martinez, although it was a case that focused on the lack of intent in the Arizona statute, listed several hypothetical examples of the type of conduct considered outside the generic definition. One example was a son taking his father's car beyond the location that was authorized. Another example was a renter taking a rental vehicle beyond the date of the contract or to a different airport. And these are two examples that are also punished by 10851. The third example, I believe, is the valet example. And again, it would seem plausible that this would also be punished under 10851. And so for these two reasons, the broad aiding and abetting liability and the de minimis deprivations of property, these are the two reasons why 10851 is overbroad for purposes of 2L1.2. With respect to the modified categorical approach, none of the documents submitted in this case unequivocally established that he was actually convicted of a generic offense. And the documents that were submitted are identical to the documents submitted in Pennular. And, of course, in Pennular, this Court found that the charging documents and the abstract of judgment didn't establish that he had actually committed the taking of property or exercise of control of property. And that was because aiding and abetting under California law doesn't have to be pleaded in the accusatory pleadings. And so it wasn't apparent from just reference to the charging papers whether he was actually convicted of being a principal.
The difference is, of course, that this guideline explicitly allows for aiding and abetting.
Correct. Application Note 5 explains that B1 includes aiding and abetting, and B1 includes five sections that do the four-level enhancement, eight-level, and 12-level. But Note 3 deals specifically with the aggravated felony, which is B1C. And without qualification, the only qualification in Application Note 3 is that it takes the meaning of the term as defined in 1101, except with regard to the date of the conviction, or without regard to the date of the conviction. There's no other qualifier. It's inconsistent that 1101, which defines a theft offense as one that doesn't include aiding and abetting under California law, it's inconsistent with Application Note 5. And to the extent that it's inconsistent or ambiguous, this Court should define it in favor of Mr. Vidal. It is ambiguous on that, in that regard, and it is a more specific provision that is not qualified. And so the second reason would be that if there's a generic definition of aiding and abetting liability, it should take the federal definition, which has the four-factor test. And under California law, aiding and abetting or the aider and abettor doesn't necessarily have to have the intent to commit the underlying offense. So California law, aiding and abetting, is broader than any sort of generic federal aiding and abetting. The government has pointed to Rodriguez. However, the aiding and abetting discussion in that case is two sentences. It doesn't address Corona Sanchez's characterization of California law, and it doesn't address any argument that federal aiding and abetting is narrower than California aiding and abetting. And so it shouldn't control this discussion. There are no more questions reserved for
Want to save your time? Okay. I'll hear from Mr. O'Hay.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mark Rahe for the United States. I'd like to get right to the last point the defense counsel left off on. Application Note 5 is not in any way inconsistent with the rest of this Guideline 2L1.2. There's nothing internally inconsistent about it. Yes, that guideline says that the definition of aggravated felony, you look to 8 U.S.C. 1101, but then in the next breath, the commission says we need to take into account aiding and abetting, conspiracy, and attempt. If you were to take defendant's approach, Application Note 5 would be given no meaning whatsoever. It would just be written out of the statute or out of the guideline, and it is unambiguous. And in Rodriguez, this court was faced with the identical argument advanced by the federal defenders in this case, which is that California aiding and abetting liability is broader than the federal definition, and they rejected that argument. They followed the plain language of Application Note 5 and said that, in that case, I believe it was California Penal Code 459 burglary. The defendant raised the claim that he was just a lookout, and the court said very unequivocally that this argument is precluded by Application Note 5. And I know that defense puts a big emphasis, relies heavily on the en banc opinion of Corona Sanchez. That opinion was decided under a 1998 version of the guidelines that preceded this Application Note 5. Application Note 5 was part of the November 2001 amendment. And so for that reason, we believe that defense, their reliance on Corona Sanchez is misplaced. And furthermore, I don't believe that there is a difference between California's aiding and abetting liability and federal. Yes, the exact wording of the test, the operative test, may be different. But we cited, I know, in a footnote of our brief to CALJIC, which is the California Jury Instruction 3.01. This is a jury instruction that's applied by the California Superior Courts on a daily basis. And under the use notes, I would quote a short sentence here. Aiding and abetting the perpetrator of a specific intent crime requires that the aider and abettor share the specific intent of the perpetrator. And for that proposition, the jury instruction cites the California Supreme Court case of People v. Beeman at 35 Cal 3rd, specifically at page 560. And again, there, the California Supreme Court said very clearly that when the definition of the offense includes the intent to do some act or achieve some consequence beyond the actus reus of the crime, the aider and abettor must share the specific intent of the perpetrator. Now, I know in the reply brief, the defense, they cited some case that says, well, maybe there's some suggestion in some cases that you don't actually have to share it. Well, we would say, one, that's directly at odds with the language of CALJIC, which, like I said, the California Superior Courts are applying on a daily basis. It's at odds with the California Supreme Court here in Beeman. And maybe the third thing I would say is there might be maybe some confusion, because I know that the defense cites a CALAP case. The Beeman, in Beeman, the California Supreme Court, after they said when you have a specific intent, the aider and abettor must share that specific intent, the very next sentence they say, by share, we mean neither that the aider and abettor must be prepared to commit the offense by his or her own act should the perpetrator fail to do so, nor that the aider and abettor must seek to share the fruits of the crime. Well, I think that's just as well true under federal law. It's basically saying they're saying you have to share the specific intent of the underlying crime, but maybe you don't have to share the intent of what you want to do with the proceeds of the crime. That's an entirely different principle. But if the court is concerned with whether or not California aiding and abetting liability doesn't mirror the federal version, we would point again to this CALJIC 3.01 and the California Supreme Court's interpretation of its own law in the Beeman case. And also, we would point out, if this court were to adopt the defendant's position, it would, in effect, require the court to overrule this Ninth Circuit's prior decision in Rodriguez. Because, again, that was the same argument was advanced in that case, and it was rejected. Now, aside from the aiding and abetting, moving to the other argument, which is this whole temporary versus permanent deprivation, there are a number of flaws, I believe, in the defense's position on that subject, Your Honors. And first and foremost, defense, they rely most heavily on the model penal code. The en banc court in Corona Sanchez rejected the model penal code's definition. So basically what the defense would have this court do is to, even though the en banc court said we are not going to follow wholesale the model penal code, defense wants you to sort of incorporate bits and pieces of it that help it in this case. But that's something I don't believe that this court could do. In Corona Sanchez, the en banc court clearly stated that the intent may be something less than permanent, i.e. it may be temporary. What the defense wants to do is to split hairs and say, well, there can be temporary, there can be de minimis. I mean, a number of responses. First off, the whole point of the Taylor categorical approach is not to get too deeply or at all into the facts of the underlying crime. The definition that they propose, which is based from the model penal code's use of the word deprived, I think it requires sort of the deprivation of a substantial portion of a property's economic value. I don't know how that's a practically workable standard, Your Honor. I don't know that they're in the plea colloquies for the California Superior Court that was as anything that they ever even asked people. In order to adjudicate that kind of a concept, you will have to go too deep into the facts, and that's something that Taylor precludes. And also, we would point out that I know that defense counsel referred to Navarez-Martinez, and she cited the hypotheticals about the rental car, the valet. Well, this court, in the context of that discussion, was discussing a Arizona statute that had no intent requirement whatsoever. And the court said, in such a situation where no intent is required, you can have these situations. This statute, Vehicle Code 10851A, couldn't be more different because it specifically has a criminal intent requirement in it. And it's the intent to deprive of either title or possession. So in this case, with this statute, you don't have those kinds of concerns. And to the extent anybody could be convicted under the statute of that, I would say that's more of a problem with the underlying conviction. And, of course, this court doesn't stand in these collateral attack cases to judge the validity of the underlying conviction. If somebody's convicted on those set of facts under this statute, that's something they need to take up with the California Court of Appeal. But when we apply the framework that's necessary in this case, which is the Taylor categorical approach, when you match up the elements of the generic definition of a theft offense with the statutory elements of the crime, here, Corona Sanchez says there needs to be an intent to deprive of the benefits of ownership, even if it's less than permanent. What does Vehicle Code 10851 say? The intent to deprive of either title or possession. And I know I want, another point I want to address, I believe in the reply brief, the defense states something that, well, to just interfere with possession, that's somehow not significant enough. I point out possession is, if ownership is considered a bundle of rights, possession is the most important part of that. Possession, I mean, what is it to own something if not to be able to possess it? So I don't believe that that kind of a distinction that the defense wants to draw is sustainable. And finally, Your Honors, if you were to adopt the position of the defense in this case, I don't know that any California statute could ever satisfy Taylor's categorical approach, because we don't quarrel with the defense. They're right. Aiding and abetting, it can be implied in every California complaint, just like it's implied in every federal indictment. And that's under 18 United States Code Section 2. If that were the case, and if aiding and abetting liability is so abhorrent under the state system, then you would never have any categorical satisfaction of Taylor. And it's hard to believe that that was Congress's intent. And not only that, it's empirically disproved. There are other cases that I cited in my brief where a number of California statutes have been held to satisfy the categorical definition of either a crime of violence or a drug trafficking offense. So I don't know what the defense response to that would be, but that's sort of a policy argument. And I, with that, unless the court has any further questions or any questions, I guess I would submit.
Don't think so. Thank you.
Application note 5 deals with B1, which has 5 sections, and we're talking about section C. To the extent that Section C takes precedent over Application Note 5, it doesn't render that Application Note meaningless. That Application Note could still apply to Sections A, B, D, and E, it is just internally inconsistent with Section C, which states that aggravated felony should have the meaning of as the term is defined in 1101. And this Court has established that under 1101, aiding and abetting liability under California law takes certain statutes outside the categorical definition of theft offense. With respect to the aiding and abetting definition in California law, Corona Sanchez and Penular describe and characterize it as including mere promotion and instigation, which does fall outside the federal definition.
Why?
The federal definition is a four-factor test in which the aider and abettor has to have the intent to commit the underlying crime. And it appears from
sure, that is nothing. That has nothing to do with the point you were just making. I mean, the federal statute allows for procuring, advising, counseling, helping, encouraging.
That's correct. But in addition to that, there has to be the three other requirements in order, because the federal test is broader than California.
Why?
Because
That's fine. That is no problem. If the federal test is broader, it's no problem.
Then I misspoke. I apologize. The federal test requires assistance plus the specific intent to facilitate the crime plus having the underlying intent to commit the substantive crime,
yeah,
in addition to the fact that someone else commits the underlying crime.
Okay.
Under California, under the Beeman case, as cited in Penular, it is that the aider and abettor act with the knowledge of the criminal purpose of the perpetrator and with intent of committing and I believe this is the difference, or simply encouraging or facilitating the commission of the offense. And so it does appear that acting with the intent of committing the offense is not required, and that takes it out of the definition of the federal offense.
Well, if that's true, then Beeman and the U.S. Supreme Court's approval of it is all wet.
Well, that does appear to be how Penular interprets the case, as well as Corona Sanchez. Rodriguez doesn't discuss this at all. It doesn't discuss Corona Sanchez. It's two sentences in the opinion. It doesn't reject or expressly discuss the argument that California law may be broader than federal law. And it could be that California law is unclear on this point and whether it does fit the federal definition or not, but the fact that certain cases seem to be broader, establish a broader test, suggests that it can't categorically, that it is broader than the federal definition, or that it can't be relied upon. With respect to the argument that no California statute could ever satisfy any of those definitions of aggravated felony, that may be the case. It wasn't raised and doesn't appear to be raised or addressed in previous cases. In addition, there are five subsections to B1, crimes of violence, drug trafficking, and it's really unclear as to, even if this court finds that for purposes of 2L1.1, that Penular that definition should control, doesn't necessarily invalidate those other sections or render aiding and abetting not applicable to those other, or applicable to those other sections. With respect to the less than total or permanent language of the categorical definition, that is somewhat vague, but it must mean more than a de minimis deprivation. And again, although Navarez-Martinez involved the intent requirement, the hypothetical examples listed could also fall within the California statute, regardless of the intent requirement. And with that, Your Honor, unless there are any more questions.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. The matter just argued will be submitted, and the court will be in recess for the day.
All rise.
I'll bring yours in. Thank you. Let me hold this because I don't want it to come.